Welcome to the Normal Birth Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Whipple, and today I have a very special guest, my husband, Dave. He offered to come on to help me tell the story of our daughter Charlotte's birth, and we had a great time. I've truly loved getting to showcase this part of our lives together. Before we get into it, though, I have a quick announcement. I've been pretty quiet this year and haven't posted an episode for a while. One of the major reasons for that is that I am currently about 30 weeks pregnant. We're expecting a son, Owen, in mid-October, and I have been completely exhausted. So I decided to accept my energy limits for the last few months, and I appreciate y'all's patience in that time. Topics we discuss in this episode include informed birth education, miscarriage, birth trauma, C-sections, the true value of doulas, partner support, pooping during labor, and gallbladder issues. Please stay tuned. Thank you. All right, so let's start with introducing ourselves. I'm Megan Whipple, the host of the Normal Birth Podcast, and this is my husband, Dave Whipple. Say hi.
Hey, everybody.
Dave has actually never listened to an episode of this podcast, and that's not a problem. It's not for everybody. That's definitely not for him, but I'm bringing him on for this episode willingly to discuss the birth of our daughter, Charlotte. So I guess we'll get started with just discussing how we decided to have her, because that's a good intro point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I desperately wanted another baby. How did you feel about that?
I was on board.
Yeah.
A little anxious because of how Ada's birth and everything went.
Mm-hmm.
But I always knew I wanted more kids, so I thought it made sense. And I don't remember being apprehensive at all. Like, timing and everything seemed to make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who are unfamiliar with our story, we are a combined family. Each of us has a child from a previous marriage, and we met and have been married, I haven't done the math, 2-3 years at this point. We got married in 2017, so this is 2020, so about 3 years.
Yeah.
And we had a huge trip planned to go to Australia as a family. We were going to go see the Great Barrier Reef. We had all gotten passports and were set to leave in 2 weeks when the country just shut down because of COVID.
That's right.
And at that point, I personally felt like my entire body was being put on this indefinite pause because I wanted to have a baby, but I was getting older and I started to just completely melt down. And you were like, you know, whatever you need to do to get through this anxiety, you told me to just buy plants. You were supportive of that, but I was like freaking out about it.
I don't remember you like melting down. Oh. Like I, that's interesting. I felt like it was much more a conversation of, like, I don't want to wait for a whole nother year. Because,
yeah,
like, at that point, we thought, like, things will open back up eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to wait a whole nother year and see where we're at on things. And so, that's interesting. I didn't recall it being, like, a meltdown. I felt like it was much more just, this seems to be where things are leading.
Mm.
And I do remember it being very important to you.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that you felt it went that way.
No, I think I felt hysterical, but like I didn't want to pressure you if you weren't ready.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That did not come across that way at all.
Okay. That's good, I guess. I don't know. Is that good?
I don't think I've ever thought of you as hysterical. That would not be how I'd describe that. I mean, again, it was obviously it was important to you and that you were, like, wanting it and upset that it felt like it was going to get delayed even further because you really just wanted to be pregnant and be a mom again.
Yeah.
But it didn't strike me that way.
All right. Well, we decided, you know, I think I remember coming to you and saying, like, hey, I think now is the time. Like, I don't want to wait another year because I didn't want to travel pregnant. You know, we thought if the country opens up in like 6 months, we can still go to Australia. We'll just be postponing the trip. But
that would be, again, another 6 months to a year that we would be waiting to have another kid. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want to do that. And I said, why don't we just spend this time getting pregnant and having a baby instead? And I want to start now, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that conversation?
Vaguely. I mean, that's my recollection of how it went. Like, again, I don't recall any resistance. It just made sense.
Yeah. So I immediately stopped my birth control and we just decided to see where that led. I started tracking my periods and ovulation and all that just because I had been on a NuvaRing for a couple of years at that point, and my periods have always been pretty regular, but I just really wasn't sure where I was in my natural body cycle or how I was going to react coming off of that. So I started tracking that. So I knew like exactly the day that I ovulated, and I knew when to take a test about 14 days afterward. And the test was negative. And I remember being really bummed out. I started spotting a little bit, and I went to the store and bought a bottle of wine. And I was like frustrated, so I went for the screw top wine. And I got home, and the screw top wine, the like perforation on the metal label hadn't cut all the way through, so it's I couldn't unscrew it. It was like permanently sealed shut, and I was like stabbing through the top of it with the corkscrew trying to get enough of a hole that I could pour it.
Mama needs wine.
And I think I only got like half a glass out before I lost patience with it, which turned out to be a good thing, because the next morning at like 2 a.m. I got up and I was like, the spotting stopped. I'm just going to pee on another stick. And of course, like, it's dark in the bathroom. I wasn't paying any attention. I thought it came out negative.
Was it those little ones you were using? Like the little matchstick looking things?
No, I got those like 3 days later, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think this was a first response.
Okay.
I peed on it and it was negative, so I just went back to bed. But I had laid it on this box that's next to our toilet. And we both got up the next morning.
Is Ada here?
Yeah, I think both of our kids were here because you were downstairs making breakfast and I don't think things were going well.
No, and I remember you like calling me upstairs and I was like, oh geez, what's this about?
Yeah. So I was like, I had just gotten up to pee from getting up in the morning and I looked down and the test was not negative.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's a positive test. So I got in the shower and just like processed it. And then when I got out, I texted Dave and I was like, hey, I need you to come upstairs. And when he came upstairs, you were like frustrated. Like,
I mean, that was around the time that I was still working on like dealing with all the hecticness. Like both the kids, trying to get breakfast ready, dealing with all the dogs. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was on my medication at that point for like anxiety and depression, but maybe I wasn't.
I don't remember exactly.
I don't know what the timing is on that. Yeah. I know I was on my thyroid med, like, but I don't know if I had started Lexapro at that point.
I'm not sure you had.
And so like that would make sense. Mornings were really tough because I felt like I had to balance everything. And,
yeah.
And then like you hadn't come down yet. And so like when you called me up, I was like, well, what's going on here? Like, probably not in the nicest way.
you weren't mean when you came up. You were just like obviously frustrated with how the morning was going.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But you were like, what? Like... what bomb are you going to drop on me now?
I have bacon cooking and potatoes in the pan and our kids are not capable right now of managing that. Like, and we have four dogs for some reason. Oh. What are we doing?
Oh, yeah, and we had just gotten a puppy. Paisley was still like 2 months old.
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, I can have some grace on myself for being stressed about all that.
Yeah. Paisley was a disaster. Anyway, but I don't remember how I got the words out, but I just told you, like, hey, I'm pregnant.
And yeah, you were, like, test. You were kind of, like, mousy about it. You were like, I'm pregnant. And I was like, oh, okay. Yay.
I remember you asking me, like, okay, like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, like, what do we need to do? How do you feel?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Ada would have been, like, 11?
Yeah.
10 or 11? So, like, it had been a long time, a decade, since I had, like, experienced, like, what you do with pregnancy or what the steps are.
Yeah.
And it was, like, immediately. And so, like, we didn't really have time to process anything. It just kind of happened.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being... Yeah. And, like, hugging you and being like, cool, okay. I think I went really internal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And just was like, oh, this is really happening. Okay, let me catch up to, like, the news here. But then it was really weird. Because it was like, well, we can't tell the kids yet.
Yeah.
And so then it was like, ooh, super exciting. Now don't tell anyone. Yeah. I hate stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
I hate feeling like I'm hiding something. It's the same way I feel like when I get a really cool gift for somebody and I have to, like, wait to give it to them.
Because
mm-hmm. it's like, ooh, I know something really cool that you don't know, but, like, you're going to be excited probably too, but you can't know yet. And...
You're a really good gift giver too. I usually... find out, like, a week before my birthday, like, hey, I got your birthday present in the mail today. Do you want it now or do you want it later?
I hate waiting. Like, it's such a bummer because it's like, why would we wait? Like, it's an exciting thing and
you're
looking
it.
Forward to it.
I like that. It's cute.
It's fun. I like finding cool things for you.
But then, yeah, so it was still, like, early COVID and it was, like, immediately... Megan can't go to the grocery store at all. Like,
I did not remember that part of it, but you're right. Like, it would have immediately become this idea of, like, I have to do everything.
Yeah.
Like, we need to put you in an even more significant bubble.
Yeah. We were extremely conservative with it.
I shut down the practice at that point?
I think you were on the verge of it if you hadn't already.
Okay.
Yeah, because there were a couple of weeks there where you were, like, masking and getting a lot of cancellations, and then just one day when you called it.
Yeah, I feel like it was, like, March or April.
Yeah.
Like, we shut down for, like, maybe April, May. But I also remember a couple scares where, like, I had patients and then I felt sick.
Yeah.
And that was still back when, like, I was just trying to smell things to make sure I still had my sense of smell.
Mm-hmm. And, like, at that point, nobody really knew, like, any of the finer details of COVID. There weren't any, like, accepted treatments for it. The hospitals were overrun. So it was scary.
Wait, what month would we have found out?
Let's see. We got pregnant in March, so we would have found out in April.
Okay.
Like, very early April.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So right around when I shut. Maybe that factored in. I don't quite remember, but... I know we shut the practice down and just switched to telehealth for a while.
And at that point, my office went fully remote, so I don't think I left the house at all.
You got a bit stir crazy. I do mm-hmm. remember that, because you were tired of not being able to, like, do anything or go anywhere or hang out with anyone.
Yeah, and we had just recently moved to our neighborhood, so I didn't know any of the neighbors. It wasn't like I had friends.
Well, and most of the people you, like, hang out with now weren't here at that point.
Yeah.
It was just the neighbors next door and then none of the other people that you spend time with now.
Yeah. Yeah, so pretty much that whole pregnancy, I was, like, in isolation. We started going, like I said, we had just moved, and so we started going to a local OB practice for my visits, and I had to get some blood testing done because I had had low progesterone in previous pregnancies. And I was having trouble just getting them to order the test because I hadn't been seen as a patient of theirs before then. So I had to call my old OB and get them to, like, call in order to get the tests run. And then they said, you know, you are low on progesterone. So I had to get that done. So thankfully that worked out because that was a miscarriage risk.
Yeah.
And I was spotting off and on, and it was like super scary because I didn't even really have an established doctor at that point while we were waiting for like the first 12 weeks to be seen.
Yeah, it was a really weird time.
Yeah.
Like, just so different than it would be like even now. Like, just calling and getting in with anyone,
uh-huh.
you know, just I want to establish. And then it was just everyone kind of hunkered down and was only seeing established patients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess there was a lot of, like, chaos and questionable things at that time.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, what does this mean or look like? And we were still kind of bummed we didn't get to go to Australia, you know, like.
Yeah, and still kind of anticipating, like, maybe it will open up in the next 6 months. Like, we didn't really know how long we were in it for, like.
Yeah.
But I did know that I wanted to pursue a med-free birth, and I was interested in hiring a doula, which my first labor I did with an epidural in a very baby factory, high volume of birth hospital. And it went very rapidly, very smoothly. I don't really have any complaints. I just wanted a different experience this time. I feel much more educated on birth and what my options were. So I picked a doula to interview, and we sat down for our first Zoom call. And she comes on the screen, and before she and I could even say hi to each other, she and Dave were like, oh, hi.
Yeah. She's our... She does a lot of our web design stuff for the practice, you know, so I was like, oh, it's this Heidi. Okay, that's cool. Like, I feel a lot less anxious now. I'm not having to meet someone new.
So that was really nice. It was a good, like, immediate good stepping stone into that.
And the whole thing was anxiety producing for me, or just maybe not that much, but like new and unknown, you know, because with Ada, it was like we just did the typical hospital visit and classes, and all I remember getting out of that was like some kind of like sitting and breathing, and then they like made sure to tell us to order the steak dinner the last night before we left because you got like a special meal, so like there was nothing helpful about it.
Yeah.
And so like I didn't know anything about what was available, and our you know, my wife at the time and I's experience with Ada was so unusual, you know, as far as like what, like I didn't know what a normal birth was like, or how it was even supposed to go, let alone that there were these other alternatives or options.
Do you want to give a brief description of what Ada's birth was like for you?
Yeah, she was a month early, and it was New Year's Day at like 2 a.m. that my wife at the time's water broke. And so, like, it was really icy and snowy out, and so we're trying to drive to the hospital, and there was, like, a drunk driver in front of us. And then Ada was still breech, so I just remember getting there, and then they were like, we have to take her back to prep her, put these clothes on, and then that was it. No one talked to me for, like, what felt like an hour. And all I remember was, like, that there was a really sad State Farm commercial at the time that came on about kids. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, what's happening? And I'm going to be a dad. And where is everybody? You know, and, like, it was really stressful. And so then they, like, walked me back, and they had all the stuff up for the C-section. And we didn't even know that we didn't have, like, that we had decisions and choices and stuff now that I know, like, what we've learned through Heidi and what you've taught me. But then, like, the C-section happened. Ada was born, and then immediately they took us to, like, a recovery room after I walked Ada to the nursery, and they were concerned about, like, her sugar levels. But she was a month early, so we expected something. But then, like, my wife at the time, Beth, her body temperature dropped horribly, and, like, no one was talking to us. All they did was rush in and put this, like, warming blanket blow up device thing over her, and no one talked to us, no one said anything, and then the nursing staff just left, and like she was like, I'm really tired, and I'm like, I don't know if you're supposed to sleep because I'm afraid like you might be dying, I'm not sure what's happening. And just kept wondering, like, where's the hospital staff? I still don't know, like, what all happened with that. We never got answers. And so the idea of, like, a doula and a natural birth and all that, I was really anxious, just, like, I don't know what any of that means, and I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
So I really was just trusting your lead. It made sense to me once you explained that it was, like, a mediator. Like, and Heidi explained it really well, that, like, she was a mediator on our side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thankful for that, because I was like, well, at least someone in the room's going to know what's going on, because I sure certainly don't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it sounds to me like if you had had a doula in that situation, I don't know what help she would have been to Beth or you, but she at least would have known enough to be like, hey, this is a normal reaction, and it's fine that there's not, like, a bunch of people in the room. They're monitoring from
No one
wherever.
Told us anything. Like,
yeah.
That would have been awesome. I would have paid whatever for that, just to have somebody be like, hey, this is normal. Because for them, it may have been, but, like, we had never had a kid before.
Yeah.
And Beth was out of it. And so I'm just kind of like, what's happening? And then I'm like, holy crap, I can't raise a kid on my own. If
yeah.
she dies, like, what am I going to do? Like, this is not okay. So I was really apprehensive about all the birthing side of it.
Yeah.
So having a doula, I mean, looking back on it now, having Heidi was so helpful. Just to know someone in the room knew what was going on and was communicating with us and, like, telling me what to do and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I hate that you went through that. But I'm glad we found Heidi.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I was comfortable with her, because it really took away a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. So as we were doing our initial interview with her, just trying to get to know her and figuring out what services we wanted and what she would provide, one of the things we talked about is our local hospital system. So we're about an hour outside of Nashville, and our local hospital does not have a super great reputation locally. As far as the people I know who have delivered there, my sister had three kids there and her births went fine. But they've got a very high rate of C-section, a high rate of recurring infection, things like that.
It feels like anything in this city, which is like everything's like a decade behind what you would anticipate elsewhere.
Yeah. Is definitely not high ranking on what you would think about if you're looking into patient-centered care for a delivery. They very much are going to be looking at it from a clinical side, which is not necessarily negative if that's what you're looking for. But if what you're looking for is like a natural, you know, let my body do what it needs to do kind of birth, you do run a higher risk of having to argue against things like Pitocin induction and C-sections and things like that. So Heidi basically told us at the time she really didn't like doing work with that particular hospital. And so we discussed what our other options were. And I decided to transfer my care completely to the Vanderbilt Midwife System. And deliver at the Northcrest Hospital in Springfield, Tennessee.
Which is about 40 minutes from us.
Yeah. It's not quite as far as going
Maybe
all the 30. Way into Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on traffic, 30, 40. Kind of frustrating to have to travel that far to get to it, but definitely still accessible.
It worked out. Well.
Yeah, we really liked that hospital. So I never did wind up seeing the OB practice here in town, cause we just switched.
We switched
up.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a move I was very, very happy with. It worked out well.
I feel like we got confirmation pretty early on that we had made the right decision to switch.
Yeah. They were pretty on it. I don't remember the details of that at all, but I remember feeling extremely comfortable with that choice.
I remember you being very frustrated because you feel like you felt like you weren't hearing back from people.
Mm.
And I feel like that was even the case with Vanderbilt until you got established.
Yeah.
And then you felt much more confident about the care you were getting or the answers you were getting.
Yeah. Which made sense at the time, but that doesn't help when you are feeling not so confident about what's going on in your pregnancy.
Because I didn't know anything. Yeah. Like, I still was along for the ride and just kind of the mindset that if it was important to you, then I would support it. And there was nothing. I think unless you had said, like, no, I want to know exactly when the baby's going to be born. I want a planned C-section. I think mm-hmm. that might have been the only thing where I would have been like, whoa, I either need to, like, work through a lot with this, mm-hmm. or can we please, like, rediscuss or reevaluate?
Yeah. So with that in mind, like, what was important to you going into that delivery? Like, if you could say, like, I have a list of wishes or requests.
For Charlotte?
Mm-hmm.
At what point?
Just at any point in deciding, like, what kind of route. I just to be clear, you were never in a position or expressed a desire to me anyway to control me and my choices in my body. You were very much like, Megan, this is your show. You seem to know what you're doing. But like,
I was so thankful you knew what you were doing.
You still get like preferences. So I was just curious if there was anything that was important to you.
No, the only thing I remember is like, I remember talking to Heidi and because she was asking about that too. And I said, really, the only thing I can anticipate is that when I'm around new people and in a hectic situation, my tendency is to become much more observant. And that doesn't mean that I'm not paying attention or that I'm not interested, but it can give off that vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I mentioned that there might be a time where I need some space or need the ability to, like, regroup.
Okay.
But that never actually happened. But that was the only thing I thought going in that, like, again, if you had mentioned like C-section or something, that would have really panicked me initially mm-hmm. just because my like experience with Ada's birth. But no, like I do think it's fair for me to have like some options or yeah. input, but at the end of the day, it was you. You seem to have a very set idea on what you were hoping for, and that seemed like a 9 or a 10 out of 10 for you. And for me, it was like the whole thing was like a 2 out of 10 as long as like as long as Charlotte came out healthy and you were okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so my take on it was always like, this is much more important to you to have it a way that you really are wanting to attempt to give birth. And so like that for me trumps anything that I would meagerly want or be interested in, because I don't think I would have come up with anything.
Yeah.
And in fact, I don't think even now, knowing even more of the options and how it went, that I would, if I went back and redid it, I would change anything.
Okay. Yeah, I just think, so I've always had a strong interest in birth and women's health surrounding our bodies. But I'm not a nurse. I'm not a professional. I never want to give off that false indication that I like do this for a living or anything. This is a hobby for me. I do have some doula training under my belt, so I do know a little bit about what they do, but I've never actually attended a live birth.
Except your own.
Except my own. I've been there for two. yeah, I've considered nursing school, but that just hasn't worked out for me career-wise. I work in publishing. And that's great. But I'm also, I feel like, quite a bit more educated about what kinds of possibilities and options are out there for just an average person in any given scenario in birth. Just because that's something that interests me, and it's part of why I'm doing this podcast, because it's something that I can do to kind of scratch that itch.
I think that showed through too, like when we were doing the classes that Heidi had us do with her, and the other participants would ask questions, and I was like, oh, we, like you and me by proxy, know a lot more about this or what to expect or anticipate.
Yeah.
So, like, your knowledge, I think that was the other reason why I was like, oh, she's got this. It wasn't disinterest or, like, anything like that. It was just, wow, she really knows her stuff, so I'm going to just default because that makes the most sense.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
So what was important to me, I think, was experience. So my previous birth experience, I kind of touched on this. I have a son. At the time we had Charlotte, he was about 8 years old, so it had been a while. I was interested in doing a natural birth with him, had touched in with a midwife clinic when I found out I was pregnant, but hadn't actually been seen by them, and I started spotting, I think, at some point, took another pregnancy test. It came back negative. Panicked, called the doctor's office. They brought me in for a blood test. And this is like late on a Friday afternoon. And never called back. And I think it was the next Wednesday. I just went to the grocery store. And at that point, I was full on. I wasn't pregnant anymore. But I was on my way to the grocery store. And I got a phone call from them, and they said, ma'am, we are so sorry. Your file got shoved to the bottom because one of the doctors was on vacation, and we are so, so sorry. And then she just got very quiet, and I thought I was handling it pretty well up until that point. Like, it was pretty clear what was happening, but I just started crying. And, I mean, the grocery store was only, like, half a mile from our house, and I pulled over in a parking lot and just was, like, hysterically sobbing, and the woman on the phone was like, so I'm gonna guess you had a little bit of bleeding. And I was just like wailing, and, you know, managed to get off the phone with her, sat and cried in the parking lot for about 30 minutes, drove home, didn't even make it to the grocery store. And my ex-husband at the time was home, and he was like, what is going on? And I was like, I just got the phone call. And he was like, kind of confused, because, you know, he was like, well, clearly, you know, but he was kind about it and just gave me a good hug. And but I was really upset, because at that point we had been trying for about 9 months and just nothing was happening. But also I was really young, and I didn't really know what trying was supposed to look like. Like, for us, it was just pulling the goalie. I didn't understand that there were options like tracking your fertility and using ovulation strips and all these sorts of things that you could use to really take a lot of the guesswork out of it, that for me would have been really helpful, I think, because at that point I started to do more research on it, found out we could do that, and I got pregnant the very next cycle with my son, which is, that's the way I kind of look at it in my heart. I'm like, yeah, it stinks that I had that very early miscarriage. But if it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't have my son.
Right.
And, you know, there's no way I would wish that away. He's wonderful. But with that whole thing, I just really didn't trust the midwife practice that I was going through at that point. And so I just kind of decided, you know, within the scope of experience, this is going to be my epidural birth. And I just went with it, and it was great. like I said, very rapid delivery. I think I was fully dilated, went into labor after dinner, so about 7:30, fully dilated by midnight, but was epiduraled in a bed, and my doctor was on call the next morning, and they were like, you can just sleep if you want. So I just waited until the next morning, and then they ruptured my water because it hadn't broken on its own, and I delivered him very quickly. So with this one, I really just wanted to have the full natural birth. I felt like with as quickly as my first one went, that like my body knew what it was doing, and I felt confident that I could trust that. And I was like, okay, you know, I think I can do this.
I love that you're talking about them like they're on like a bingo card. You're like, okay, this will be the epidural one. And, all right, this time we'll go natural. Like,
that is kind of how I feel about it. I don't know. Like, we've talked about what to do in the future. Like, I don't know. I know what I want. I want another birth similar to Charlotte's. But at the same time, it's taken a lot of the pressure off the what ifs. Because if something does go wrong and I wind up with a different experience, I'll be like, well, I got to experience something else. Like,
well, and I feel like talking with Heidi, like, she, you've basically had, like, both ends of the continuum, right? Like,
yeah.
You've done the epidural one, and that, and then you've done the natural one.
Mm-hmm.
So now you said, like, you want it to be similar to Charlotte but less pain, which
yeah.
makes so much sense.
Yeah. So let me just think, like, for the whole pregnancy with Charlotte, that feels like a blur to me. I remember there being some morning sickness, but I never threw up. I just remember, like, living off kombucha and Clif Bars for a few months.
I remember buying a lot of kombucha and Clif Bars.
Yeah, those were good.
I feel like you were sick quite a bit, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I remember, like, we bought those, like, seasickness bands, and we tried, like, the ginger candies.
Yeah.
And the crystallized ginger. I feel like that was significant for you with her.
It probably was. That checks out for me. I feel like my brain has kind of forgotten how bad it was.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. the heartburn was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
The heartburn was really, really bad. Toward the end, I just remember, like, I would wake up in the middle of the night choking on, like, mouthfuls of acid.
Ugh. Yeah. Although, like, you were such a trooper. Like, you didn't really share much of that.
Mm.
I don't think I was oblivious to it. I think you just weren't sharing much of what you were experiencing, or you just kind of assumed it was part of it.
Yeah, I think that's how I felt. Like, it's just part of it. I had bad insomnia and pelvic girdle pain, but I was just getting through it with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we just kind of made it to the end of that pregnancy, and then it got to the point where I was having frequent Braxton Hicks. And you were getting annoyed with me.
No, I wasn't annoyed with you. I feel like that whole last 2 weeks, like, every 5 minutes, I was like, is this the baby? And you're like, no, I don't think so. And I'm like, okay. And then, like, 5 minutes would go, is this the baby? Like, I just felt like it was this perpetual experience of, like, at any minute, the baby is coming. And so then I'd be like, well, how am I supposed to track all this? Like, you know, how am I supposed to be prepared?
And I would be sitting there with my contraction timer, and it would just be like, this does not seem like labor contractions.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. That I remember that now.
Yeah. But I had told Dave, I said one of the things that I really hoped that I got to experience out of this was my water breaking. Because he had that experience with Beth, but I had not had that experience at all. And I was like, that sounds kind of fun to me. Like, I think I would enjoy that. Spoiler alert. So I was having a lot of contractions one morning, and his mom was on her way into town. She was going to come stay with us for a few weeks. It was right after Christmas, like a couple days after Christmas.
What was Charlie's due date supposed to be?
The 21st.
No.
It was,
really?
We had her 4 hours shy of her due date. So when's her birthday? The 27th.
Yeah, so the 28th?
28th.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, it was like a couple days after Christmas. His mom is driving in from out of state to come stay with us. And I'm having a bunch of labor contractions. I had lost my mucus plug, you know, so things were looking up. Yeah, that was gross. And I had kind of been in touch with Heidi that morning, like, hey, things kind of seem to be moving. We still don't know for sure that this is anything, as was the story of that 2 weeks. And she said, why don't you go take a bath? Sometimes water has a way of either, you know, making the contractions come on or make them go away. And I was like, okay. So I went and sat in the bath for a while, and they just kept coming. They weren't regular or anything like that, but they were just still happening. So I was like, okay. So I get out of the bath. His mom gets here.
I just remember sitting there and clicking, like, the button on the screen. I'd, like, look over, and then you'd, like, click it again. And I don't remember how it indicated not labor. But yeah. I was like, But you'd flip your phone over and be like, start. I'd be like, oh, here we go again.
What was that Pixar movie that we watched?
Soul. We didn't watch it. I just was like, what is she doing and what's happening? This feels like something's happening.
I watched it.
I don't remember it at all. I haven't seen it since. I need to watch it.
You should. It's cute in hindsight because it's very much about like a soul that's waiting to be born. Mm. But it's also very musical, and that corresponds very much with Charlotte.
I think I was just so ready for her to come. Yeah. That like... And then, like, everyone being here was stressful, too. Yeah. And so I think I was just ready for stuff to happen.
So we're all just sitting on the couch. We watched this movie. The two of us, his mom, Ada and Elliot, our kids. And the movie ends, and we're watching, like, the end credits, waiting for, like, the inevitable Pixar Easter egg scene to pop up. Mm-hmm. I think you had gotten up and, like, were in the other room, and all of a sudden I felt my water break. It wasn't, like, a gush of fluid. It was just, like, a pop, oh. And I, like, jumped up. There's this tiny bathroom in the back of our living room, and I, like, start laughing and waddling over to it, trying not to make a huge mess. And then I was just sitting in that tiny bathroom laughing and gushing fluid while the entire family sat on the couch outside the bathroom door. And they were like, are you okay? And I was like, my water definitely broke.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got that experience.
It was fun. And then I feel like we were very calm about like getting stuff together. And,
yeah.
Like, you put some towels down in the car. And the drive wasn't bad. You had a couple contractions on the way, I remember. Mm-hmm. But overall, we're pretty okay.
The contraction timer was still like, no, this isn't labor. And I was like, no, this is definitely labor now. They were starting to get hard about the time that we got to the hospital. But most of the drive was pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I don't remember any of it being problematic. Mm-hmm. I think I was just at that point again, just ready to be starting going through it.
Yeah. I liked that drive. It was peaceful.
Yeah. Well, and it was nice knowing, like, mom was here, so the kids were already taken care of, and they knew how to take care of the pets. And
yeah.
It was just pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. So we got to the hospital, and again, this is COVID, so we had to go in through the ER. Everything else was shut down. And we walk into the emergency room, and at that point, I have soaked through my entire overnight pad that I put on, whatever towels were in the car. I have additional towels shoved between my legs because I'm still just, like, gushing fluid with every contraction. And so we walk into the ER for check-in, and they're like, okay, why are you here? And I said, I'm in labor, and they're like, okay. You know, what makes you think that? And we were like, oh, splash.
Yeah, because she's leaking water all over your waiting room.
And they were like, oh, okay, you're definitely in labor. Let's call someone right now. Like, they'll take care of the paperwork up there.
They were so impressed that you, like, brought your own towels. And then, like, I felt bad because I came back either, like, on our way up or when I came back down, like, some poor lady was cleaning the floor. And I was like, I'm so sorry.
Like, we were just standing there waiting for them to come down with the wheelchair to come get me because they wouldn't let me walk up to the delivery room, which, good.
Yeah.
But, like,
every couple seconds, it was just, like, psh, on the floor.
And there were, like, you know, a handful of other people in this ER just sitting there like, I was like, I'm sorry. Just soaking the floor.
What a fun memory, though. Like, that's legitimately the one thing that stands out for me with Charlotte's birth was that experience.
That was amazing. So they wheeled me up to the delivery room, and the hospital we were in, they're affiliated with the Vanderbilt Midwives, but it was not a Vanderbilt hospital. And so that becomes very important in a second. with the admitting paperwork that I had to do and the whole, you know, like check boxes thing that the nurses had to go through, I was required to lay in the bed on my back the entire time I was answering questions about, like, do you consent to this? Can you sign this paperwork? You know, what does your birth plan look like? Of course, we had all these copies of the birth plan and didn't bring any of them with us.
Yeah, that was the one thing we forgot.
Yeah. We were, like, really packed on everything else, but yeah, that one thing.
Although it didn't really matter.
Mm-mm, it didn't. It was pretty easy to tell them, like, yeah, I don't want any interventions at all. I'll take a saline lock, and that's about it. And they're like, okay. Yeah, but, at that point, it was really ramping up, and I was in a ton of pain, and they were forcing me to lay on my back while I finished answering these questions. And at one point, the nurse who was in charge was just like, yeah, we'll just finish this up later. And I jumped out of bed and ran to the shower because I wanted to get in the shower. I had a bikini top on and like a skirt to kind of hold my modesty, but I was just like ripped the skirt off.
Mm-hmm.
Because it quickly got like hot and was sticking to me, and I was like, I don't want this.
Yeah, I remember like we had trouble figuring out what temperature you wanted the shower to be.
Yeah.
I guess I don't quite remember you jumping up, like, and rushing to the shower. I feel like you got to a point where you're like, hey, this is a lot, and I don't feel like the nurse initiated. I think you and Heidi did. Okay. 'Cause I think Heidi was there at that point. No, I didn't. That nurse bothered me. I liked Charlotte's nurse,
mm-hmm.
But the nurse really bugged me. Because she was pretty stern and just kind of like, this is how it is.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was offered, like, can we take a break on this, or do you want to go to the shower? And I think that's when you were like, yeah, let's try something.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like from here to the end of the, like, until I get back in the bed is a giant blur.
I don't think it's that long of a period of time. I think it felt really long, and I'm sure I can't speak for you. Like, God only knows how, like, long it felt for you, given, like, what you were going through.
It was excruciating, yeah.
But I very vividly remember we got to the shower, and I just got in. I think Heidi said, Dave, you can get in there with her. Because you were wanting the hip pressure points.
Mm-hmm. The counter pressure.
Yes. Yeah. And, like, I couldn't quite reach. And Heidi's like, you can just get in the shower with her. And so I just did.
Yeah.
And so, like, I remember pushing on your hips while Heidi was applying washcloths.
Mm-hmm.
And was trying not to, like, block the water for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, no, I was outside the tub for that. And Heidi went to get more stuff. And you were like, I can't do this. Please give me medication or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so I'm not against that, but can we just wait till Heidi gets back?
Yeah.
And then once Heidi got back, I think that's when they said, hey, you need to move to the bed.
Uh-huh.
Or the baby's coming, we need to get out of the shower. And then I got in the shower with you to help lift you up. And help you over to the bed.
Okay. Because I think I remember we also forgot to pack you swim trunks.
Yeah, I didn't care. Like, yeah. It was what it was. I think I was in, like, just shorts. So,
yeah.
And probably flip-flops or something. It wasn't a big deal. But I think I was applying pressure outside the tub because I wanted the water to hit you. Because that was the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That and, like, the horse lips thing was the only things that seemed to, like, work for you. Which is funny because we thought, like, no way would you ever use that.
Yeah. So, again, like, I've read up on a lot of this, and Ina Mae Garten, or not Ina Mae Garten, she's the chef, Ina Mae Gaskin.
Oh, I was like, oh.
Talking about Barefoot Contessa.
Barefoot Contessa and
birth. Ina Mae Gaskin, who's one of the nation's leading midwives, one of her big things that she talks about is when your lips are loose, your pelvic floor is loose. And so she encourages things like making out during labor because it relaxes your pelvic floor and helps you dilate more easily. And another one of the things that she recommends is making sounds with your mouth, like horse lips, like a kind of thing.
You're not good at it unless you're, like,
no.
in the middle of labor.
I'm not good at it at all. And
you couldn't do it until you got, like, Charlotte started coming, and all of a sudden you were, like, the world's best, like, horse-lipped
No, person. I remember making fun of it, because I was like, this is one of the things that she says to do, but, like, I can't even make that noise. How do you do that? And then I remember being in the tub just, like, horse lips. And that was the whole labor. I don't know how long I was in there.
And I just kept like, I just remember trying to be so comforting, but I didn't know what to do. Like,
you were great. Like, Heidi was doing a good job of telling you, like, push here, do this.
That was so helpful.
Yeah.
You know, because I wasn't panicked or anything. I was pretty frustrated with the midwife and the nurse.
Yeah.
But I was like, that doesn't matter. I'm not, like, the one giving birth, we're cool.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, very much being thankful that Heidi's like, hey, you could do this. Hey, you could do this. Why don't you do this?
Mm-hmm.
When you got to the point where you were like, I just want to do the medication. I can't do this.
Uh-huh.
I was just so torn because I was like, man, this is so important to her. And I think we're really close because they kept saying that.
Yeah.
But then I also wanted to not be like, no, you said you wanted this.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. Like, is this the you that, like, I should listen to? Or should I listen to you from, like, 48 hours ago? Like, one of you is going to get upset with me. And so I was thankful that I was like, hey, why don't we just wait till Heidi gets back? And then I'm almost certain, maybe it didn't go this quickly, but I almost feel like she got back. I said, hey, she's starting to talk about wanting meds, and Heidi was, like, starting to talk to you about it, and then they either, like, checked you or something, and were like, hey, we need to move out of the shower, the baby's pretty close to coming.
Yeah. So the way I remember that going is, I got in the shower, the water temperature was too hot, but I don't think I was in a place to communicate that at all. So the things that were the most helpful to me were the counter pressure, that was fantastic, and the cold washcloths that Heidi was putting on my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Those were fantastic because that was helping, like, the two main sources. So the other thing that was going on, though, was because my water had broken, Charlotte's head was grinding into my cervix is what it felt like. Just like someone was taking hot knives, had laid them on top of my cervix and were just grinding them in with a like mill wheel.
It's like all that hair. Like,
oh yeah, it was horrific pain, and I was just like looking down, and there was like blood dripping into the shower.
Yes,
and it was like this tunnel of hell in my head. Like, I couldn't get out of that headspace of like, all I am feeling is pain. I am not getting a break between these contractions, and there's blood everywhere, and I just don't, like, I can't get out of this. There's no end in sight. And that was what, like, I was like, I can't do this. I cannot. And I stand by that. I could not do that any longer than that. That was, and they came by and they said, I remember Dave being like, well, babe, you said, and I'm like, no, really. And you were like, let me go get Heidi.
All discuss it.
Yeah.
Like, let's just make a group decision.
Which I think is the best thing you could have done. That was great. I felt good with that. And I remember it being like, I was like, oh, great. Where's Heidi? Why is Heidi not in the room? Because at that point, again, I'm in this tunnel. Like, I don't know who's there. I don't know who's not. As far as I knew, Heidi was touching me.
Yeah, she went to get more, like for some reason they wouldn't bring ice water or something, so she had to go get more.
But I remember it felt like maybe 30 seconds until she was back in the room, and she was like, okay, well, I'll get the midwife to come check you. Is that what you want? And I was like, yes. And I remember them telling me, you're 8 centimeters, but we think you're ready to deliver, like, right now. Let's go ahead and get you on the bed. Like, this is happening. And I was like, they turned the shower off, and for me, it was, like, instant relief because I got out of that headspace.
Yeah, you had said that transition phase,
like,
from getting from the shower to the bed was really helpful to you. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like, okay, this is transitioning to actually happening.
Yeah, it made the, like, clearly the pain that I was feeling was the same, but it made it so much more tolerable knowing, like, there's only a handful of these left.
Do you feel like it's similar, like, if you're running a lot in a race and, like, you're like, man, I can't do it. And then you turn, like, a corner and you see the finish line.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it's like that, oh, now I'm a champion runner.
And you, like sprint.
Let me go!
That's exactly what it was like. I was like, yes, acceleration, I got this.
Man, I just remember the whole time being like, I don't know how she's doing this. And like, oh my gosh, my wife is, like, superhuman. Like... That combined with, like, I hate seeing her in this much pain. But, like, I only knew the pain was there because you were telling me.
Yeah.
Because you were so internalized with it.
Yeah.
But I was just like, holy crap. Like, how is she doing this? This is incredible.
Yeah.
And then just constantly looking at Heidi for, like, am I supposed to be doing something right now? Like, what can I do? But, like, by that point, it was like... things were happening. Like, you got on the bed. I think you got on the bed on all fours, right?
I did get on the bed on all fours because I wanted to deliver on all fours. Everything, you know, in my studies, to me, that was the optimal position for me to deliver without complication. And so...
Well, and you seemed most comfortable when we were talking about, like, with Heidi, like, different positioning and stuff. Like, that's the one that you seemed to feel, like, fit most naturally with what you were wanting to do.
Mm-hmm. And it fit most naturally with the way my body seemed to want. Like, I didn't feel like I was working against my body in that position.
Oh, okay. That's a cool way to put that.
Yeah. So I got on the bed on all fours, and the midwife immediately goes, you can't push like this. You need to roll onto your side. And my thinking is, okay, I know in the education that... I absolutely can deliver on all fours. There's no freaking reason for me to not. Why are you having me roll over? But I also know I'm having these contractions right now. I can feel the baby's head moving in my birth canal. I need to push. Wow. I don't have time to have this conversation with her. Yeah. So I can either tell her to F off.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can do what she says to do. But
she just seemed really rigid. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine.
I think that was my takeaway, was I had a feeling that she, like, she acted like she was open to stuff. Uh-huh. But then, like, when things were actually happening, it seemed very much like she had a set idea of how it was going to go.
Yes.
And so it was like, no, it needs to be this way. It needs to be this way. And... it felt like, you're right, like, things were happening so quickly. I don't think she was manipulating the situation to, like,
mm-mm.
wait until the last minute to be like, no, it needs to be this way. We can't argue about it.
Yeah.
I think she genuinely just got hung up on the sense I got from her was just she had a very set idea on how these things need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she also seemed extremely focused on tearing.
Yes.
And, like, had this set, rigid idea of... the only way you're not going to tear is if I have you deliver this exact
mm-hmm.
way.
Well, it's the way that she needs to, like, position her hands to provide counter pressure to my perineal area. But in having me roll over, which we'll get to in a second, she completely left unattended the entire front part of my genital area, my vulva. And I had tearing there.
Yeah.
So there's, like, you know, there's give and take with that. That's definitely something to discuss with your midwives in the future. For anybody who does not want an episiotomy, which I didn't, that was important to me.
Yeah, that's one thing going into it, like, this time that I would feel will be more careful about asking about.
Yeah.
Although I think... choosing to go to the different place this time will make a lot of difference for that.
I think so, too. But yeah, Dave and Heidi, you guys were standing on opposite sides of the bed, right? One on each side?
I was up by your shoulder. I just, Heidi said you should go stand right there.
Okay.
And I was like, yes, I can stand here. And so I did.
But I just remember you guys seemed to be just as confused as I was about how exactly I was supposed to roll over.
No, the nurse kept saying, like, telling me ways that I was supposed to be supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't understand what you're saying to get you from all fours onto your side. But also, like, I think I ended up having to, like, hold your leg or side or shoulder or something. I remember being like actively asked to hold you in a way, and I was just like, I don't know what you're asking of me. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, and at that time, you couldn't feel it, but I could feel Charlotte's head was actively engaged in my pelvis. I couldn't close my knees together in order to, like, roll myself
over. Yeah, again, it was like this very rigid set way.
Yeah.
It felt, again, very much like we had to go through a lot of extra steps just for them to get you in a certain position. Uh-huh. Where if they had just left you where you were,
yes,
there would have been so much, like, okay, maybe there would have been tearing, but, like, it was a pain, like just trying to figure out what they were wanting, and then, like, the safety aspect where they're like, no, you gotta support her here, you gotta support her here.
Yeah.
You know, we can't let her fall or whatever. And I'm like, why are we doing this then? Like, that's what I took away from it, was, like, why are you not explaining this in a way that makes sense to me why we're doing it?
Yeah. I just remember, I think you guys wound up having to kind of, like, pick me up almost in order to roll me over, because if I had rolled at all, I would have gone off one side of the bed or the other. So I had to be, like, lifted in order to be shifted.
Yeah, I mean, I vaguely...
Yeah.
I feel like at that point I just kind of got in the mode of, like, this, we're just doing this.
Yeah.
And so it was like, okay, fine, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. But, like, this isn't, I'm not okay, I'm not happy about how this is going. I wasn't pouting, but I was just kind of like, okay, just tell me what to do then, because I don't, obviously I'm not doing this right, and you all are very set on this is how it has to be.
Yeah. So, very quickly, let's discuss, right before they rolled me over, I informed everyone in the room, I am going to poop. It's going to happen. I'm sorry. And I did on all fours in front of the entire room. But at that point, it was just something that was uncontrollable. It happens. And kudos to the nursing staff at Vanderbilt. They just quietly made it disappear. It was no big deal to them.
North Crest,
yeah. But it was just, it was very professionally handled. It's part of labor. It's part of what happens normally. Don't be afraid of that.
It's so you, man, I don't want to belabor this, but no, like, so you felt like you said what to them? Because I know what you said.
Oh, I don't remember how I phrased it at all. I just remember saying, like, I'm going to poop. I am pooping. I'm sorry. What did I say?
No, that, like, it's funny to me that you thought that, like, what you said was, I think I might be pooping. And the nurse said, yes, you have been. Okay. And you were like, oh. And you may have apologized, but it just, like, again, it just was something. And I was prepared for that. Because, like, we had talked about the possibility and that it's pretty normal.
Yeah.
And so, like, it was something where I was like, well, if it happens, it happens. It's a normal bodily thing. And I'm not going through any of this. So, like, I'm not going to, like, be grossed out or weirded out.
Yeah.
You know? And so they were really cool about it. Like, they dealt with it in stride, which, again, I think signifies how normal it is.
Yeah.
You know, it was just funny because, yeah, you were like, I think I might be.
I'm just very sheepish about that kind of stuff. I was like, oh, of course. But it's, I mean, literally on,
like,
all fours.
In my thinking, it's like, how could you not? Like, knowing... Yes. What all's involved in that you're pushing, like, uh-huh. That just makes so much sense to me. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't, to me, it wasn't, like, gross or weird or anything like that. It was just like, okay, that's just part of it.
Yeah, like, she's not going to be able to come out without this happening, so let's just
do
it.
And then we immediately went into that, like, no, support her hip. Hold on, she might fall off the bed. Like, hold on, like, you need to support her this way.
Yeah. Which was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they did get me onto my side and, like, had me, like, in a side-lying, one leg hitched up kind of thing. And
I feel like I was holding your leg.
Probably. That's something they have husbands do a lot. Yeah, just hold her leg. Which was, like, a super... Here, just hold your wife's leg.
I know. It's a little better than, like, here, hold these scissors. like, hold these paper towels.
But yeah, I mean, I just remember it happening, like, instantly after that. Like, I remember, like, a few pushes, and they're like, okay, we can see your head, like, it's coming out. And then I remember one specific push where I felt the tear happen.
Yeah, you said that.
And it honestly, like, people talk about the Ring of Fire, and I was prepared for that to happen. It wasn't that bad, but there was, like, a very specific burning, stinging sensation. I would attribute it to being, like, getting a lidocaine injection.
Do you, when you say you felt it happen, do you mean you felt the pain from it, or did you physically feel the tear?
I physically felt the tear and the pain.
Wow.
Like, I knew exactly what had happened.
That's incredible.
And she was like, you need to keep pushing. At that point, you know, like, the baby's heart rate starts dropping, and I know I have a good 30 seconds, at least, before that's any kind of actual risk for the baby. I know I've got a second, and I need air in between point A and point B, and I just felt my genitals rip, so I need, like...
Can you give me a beat?
Yeah, let me blow out. And now, and then I remember pushing, and her head came out. And the rest of the delivery, I don't even remember it. She just came out.
That was the other thing that bummed me out, was there was a lot of the nurse yelling at you to push.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the one thing after the fact, like, when we did our, like, debriefing with Heidi.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like even she said she wished she had said something, but it happened so quickly that there wasn't time.
Yeah.
Because I was like, geez, lady, chill out. Like, again, it felt like there was this set. Once everything got into motion, it felt like they were like, okay, it's great that you wanted to do all these things, but here's how we do birth here.
Yeah.
So, doing it this way, and this is how it needs to be. It was frustrating.
Very on the nose. Yeah.
But then, like, I just remember, like, once Charlotte was out and we heard, like, that she was okay. And, like, again, the nurse that was in there for her, I thought she was fantastic. She was my favorite because she was very, like, encouraging and comforting towards me and, like, calmer just in general. And so... Like, I thought she was really cool and helpful, but I just remember after we knew Charlotte was okay, like, just feeling this really strong sense of, like, oh my gosh, my wife just did that. Like, so impressed and proud.
Yeah.
And, like, whoa. Like, that was intense, and I didn't do any of it. Like, I didn't do anything. Like, yeah. I knew I was helpful, but, like, just being so impressed, like, the lead up to it, and what I knew was, like, what you were hoping for, ideally, plan A, you know, and we had our plan B and C and stuff we were comfortable with and not comfortable with, like, even if something were to happen. But, like, it was really exciting for me, like, looking back on it now, I very much can remember being like, man, I'm so glad this went the way you wanted it to. Because, I didn't have any set idea as long as the baby and you were healthy.
Yeah.
And I don't remember being, like, concerned about how you were because it was just a different circumstance than what I'd experienced with Ada's birth.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't know how you did it. It was crazy intense. And, like, I couldn't have done it. Like, I know for a fact. Like, ugh.
I feel like it went the way I wanted it to. And I was very happy with that, even with the tunnel of hell. But I also feel like I didn't have a choice. Once we started down that path in the hall, in the hospital, I don't think I could have sat still for an epidural. And it just happened so quickly that, like, that's just what was going to happen.
I know, but, like, still, like, the energy and effort that you put into it.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that you were, like, really prepared and did all that just for us to have our daughter is crazy cool and impressive to me. And, like, I'm super thankful for it and just really proud. Like, I remember feeling very proud, like, when people were asking you about, like, how the labor went and how delivery was. Like, every time you talked about it, I was like, man, she was, like, this warrior princess girl that just, like, oh my gosh, how cool was that? You know, that she was so focused and able to do that in such a cool way. I just, yeah, just so impressive. And I was just really happy for you, too, that, like, it went the way you wanted it to.
Thank you, baby.
And then I was just really thankful everyone just left. You know?
Like, yeah. No, we did get our golden hour. It was really nice. I do remember the nurse handing me Charlotte for the first time, and I picked her up, and I just said, hi, Charlotte. And, like, she never did nurse all that great, but she did. We did get her to latch on and nurse, and I just remember holding her for, like, full hour.
Yeah.
Like, they did, like, you know, kind of clean her off and get a weight and a nap bar and all that, but, yeah.
It was really neat. And just getting to, like, know her with you without a bunch of people there. I'm also glad, like, we didn't have any family waiting in the waiting room or any of that. Like, we were very intentional. And part of that, we lucked out. I think we would have done it anyway, even if it wasn't COVID. But we really lucked out with COVID.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oops, like, no one's allowed to visit. But, like, I loved that it was just us and her, you know, because I felt like it really gave us a chance to get to know her and, like, I mean, get to know each other in the way of, like, oh, my gosh, we're, like, we've been parents before, but never parents together.
Yeah.
And so being, like, I think at some point even you were, like, we made her. And I'm, like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, you know. And it was just nice because I felt like the whole transition into that was so natural for us. Like, I don't recall any issues with, you know, being at the hospital the next day or whatever and overnight, other than that one, that one aide or whatever nurse lady was so rude and mean.
I remember hating her, but I don't remember why.
Oh, because she was, like, talking to Charlotte about, like, oh, you shouldn't have,
We sent Charlotte off to the nursery to get some tests done. I forget exactly what it was. And they asked, do you want her to have a pacifier?
Yes. Yeah.
And I said, no, no pacifiers, because that was part of my breastfeeding plan. And the baby nurse got pissy with us.
She was like, but she was, I feel like she was also talking to, like, Charlotte about, like, oh, you just need a pacifier. And we're like, yeah, we're not doing that. And she's like, I don't understand why, like, that's necessary for her to such and such. And I think she was probably, like, retiring the next week or something. Like, she just seemed miserable.
I understand from their perspective that, like, there's a baby and they're screaming because they're poking it with needles. But also, like, there is a flip side of that. That I'm not just choosing to not let you comfort my daughter because I'm an asshole and I don't. I'm being rigid.
Like, I just remember being like, it's not your kid and go away.
Yeah.
And, like, the next time she came in, I was like, I think there was one point where I'm like, my wife's still sleeping. Can you just come back? And it was close to shift change or something. So I was like, get this lady just out leave. Of here. Just I was leave. Really not happy with her.
But we had one nurse that we really liked. Again, I don't remember what it was about her, but she was really kind.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I usually don't get hung up on people's negative energy, but I think I just felt so protective because I'm like, my wife just went through this, like, intense thing, and this is our daughter, and why are you, like, why be that way?
Yeah.
But most of the people were cool, and we tend to focus on that, I think. I don't think our tendency is to focus on the negatives.
Yeah.
But, like, again, I just really enjoyed that time of being able to just be all together and, like, it just felt natural. And I think that's just carried through. Like, I think our parenting styles are similar and our strengths in parenting complement well.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt typical from the start. Like, I didn't even have that feeling of, like, oh, they're letting us go home. What are they thinking?
This fragile.
Like, I feel like I was at the point where I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to go. Like,
we know what we're doing.
Let's just go home. I don't know if I felt like I knew what I was doing, but I knew you knew what you were doing. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, we're cool.
Yeah.
Like, if my wife did that, we're set. You know, like, nothing at home is going to make any difference.
So there are a couple of things that I want to address that happened before we left the hospital. So the first thing was postpartum bleeding. So I did have, you know, just a normal amount of stitches. I didn't have perineal tearing, but I did have a rip up the front that they had to stitch up. And then after, when we went to cut the cord, they asked Dave, do you want to cut the cord?
Nope.
He's not interested.
Umbilical cords make me squeamish.
Yeah. I mean, it's not for everybody.
Can we not talk about it much more?
Yeah.
Thank you.
But they asked me if I wanted to, and I volunteered. I was very excited to get to do that. And then we also got to look at the placenta, which was really cool. I was interested to know what that looked like. I don't know if you remember that, but it was cool.
That has been blocked from my memory.
Cool. Yeah. I'll stop talking about that now.
You can add that in later. Yeah. That makes me squeamish.
Then there was, you know, quite a bit of postpartum bleeding. And I remember the nurse telling me, like, yeah, this is a lot of blood. You know, it's a little more than we normally expect. But it's still not meeting the benchmark of what we would consider, like, an emergency situation. She's like, you know, here's what to look for. And one of the things I think she said was, like, softball-sized clumps.
I remember that being the nurse that I liked. So yeah. I felt like that, yeah.
She was really kind.
There were some really cool staff. I was really thankful that we delivered there.
Yeah. So there was, like, one good clot that I passed that really panicked me, but she, like, took it in stride and was like, hey, this is okay. As long as it's continuing to slow down, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. And then we got back to our recovery room. I remember there being a little bit of an issue with food because we delivered late at night and we were in a really small town. And I think you got, was it Wendy's? Did you get Wendy's? I remember it being burgers.
I don't remember. I remember that I had to stop at three different places, I think. And then if whatever I ended up getting was closed, I was just going to try to find like a 24-hour grocery store if there was one. I remember sitting in a parking lot and checking hours on things because it was so late.
So the other thing I wanted to mention that happened while we were in there was night sweats. I was roasting at night, so much so that I was like stripping off all my clothes. I didn't want blankets on the bed whatsoever. And Dave was freezing, which is usually the complete opposite for the two of us.
I was sleeping on that ridiculous couch.
Yeah. And I was like, I am roasting. I don't want a blanket anywhere near me. Which I'm like a blankets in the summer kind of person usually. And Dave is like, can I please have the extra blankets if you're not using them? So I like bundled him up. But what they told me was that it's actually really common with second, third, and after that pregnancies, because something about the way your hormones regulate every time it gets a little bit of worse, which is not something anyone had ever discussed or mentioned to me, so I wasn't prepared for that. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. At least I know that, like, this is normal. But no, I was, like, sweating. I was roasting in there.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that until you said that, because I very much remember being really cold and wanting the extra blankets. But I didn't want to bug you, because, like, I was just going to deal with it.
Yeah. And they were like, I was like, is there like a thermostat in here? Can we turn the air down? And Dave's like, what?
Yeah, that was shocking.
Yeah, and that's when I realized, like, oh, no, it's me. I'm the problem here. Getting in the car on the way back home, I was a little overconfident in sitting down and sat down a little too aggressively in the seat because I remembered it being soft and that hurt. Then we just came home. I don't remember the first couple of weeks at all.
I remember, like, introducing her to the dog slowly. And I had brought something home, like, for them to sniff. Because like I came home to shower one of the days and to check in on how everyone was doing. And everyone was excited. And then we just kind of got into it. Like, yeah. I think it just melded into our typical daily experience. I don't feel like there was any major transition. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was in our room for a while, but honestly, I don't really recall. It just felt like it was just part of it. Like, there's nothing that sticks out where I'm like, oh, I remember this or whatever.
Yeah. I remember being really afraid to poop, which is part of normal postpartum stuff. Please get stool softeners and laxatives. Do yourself a favor. Because your whole pelvic floor is healing. So it's hard. But the first couple of times I did that for the first probably month or two, it was very, very painful. I probably didn't take enough laxative. But that leads me into the other thing that happened after the birth, which is probably the last couple of months of pregnancy. I was having just random bouts of like nausea and diarrhea, which we had mentioned to the doctors, and they were like, yeah, you know, this kind of stuff, just hormones, your body's going crazy. There's nothing really alarming about any of the things. I wasn't throwing up or anything. It was just weird, awful. I would have like sour burps and things like that. And it happened once while I was in the hospital, and they gave me, it was nice. But then probably about 2 months after Charlotte was born, it started happening frequently.
Because like the only thing that really helped you was taking baths.
Yeah.
And I just remember you taking a lot of baths.
And at that point, I was vomiting uncontrollably. I lost 5 pounds every time it happened that I wasn't gaining back. So I lost all of the baby weight and 10 pounds within 2 months of having Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I was very skinny at that point, but we didn't know what was going on. So I went to the doctor, and come to find out my gallbladder was just, they told me I had the trifecta, which is the sludge, the stones, and I was having liver enzyme issues.
Mm-hmm.
So when Charlotte was like 3 months old, I had to have my gallbladder out.
Back at Northcrest.
which it did. Looking back, I can definitely see like benchmarks in the breastfeeding where it impacted my milk supply, having to take that time.
Didn't you say it flared up after Elliot too?
Yeah. So I had had similar episodes, not quite as severe, but similar episodes.
Right.
I was pregnant with Elliot. They ultrasounded my gallbladder to make sure everything was okay and decided it wasn't an issue. I had had issues. I mean, when I met you and we were dating, I was still kind of having them every now and then.
It was like every 4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
You would be like, I don't feel great. I'm going to go take a bath.
Yeah.
But like, no, it really amped up.
Yeah. That's what it was. It was my gallbladder. And after doing some research, it's really, really common for women to have that happen while you're pregnant. And if you think about, like, I'm not going to get into it all, but if you think about how the digestive system physically ties in with all of your organs getting compressed and the way that you're using your digestive system and the way progesterone slows everything down, it just creates this perfect storm of, like, your gallbladder is under a lot of stress. So definitely drink tons and tons of water. But just know that that's part of something that can happen to you. And I've already had at least one person on this podcast talk about it, but I've got a ton of other friends that it's happened to, like 3 to 6 months after delivery, gallbladder surgery.
Yeah.
So I feel like that needs to be addressed more often. Hey, look out for these symptoms. So one of the big things that you're going to get is a gas pain that runs from the upper left side of your abdomen up into your shoulder blade. Diarrhea and nausea, and the episodes are going to be brief but severe. So it might be like 30 minutes, it might be up to 4 hours.
I feel like the other complaint, not complaining, but
like
the other thing that you were frustrated about was you got really cold.
Yes.
Like, you would feel, like, really cold. That's why the baths.
Yeah,
like,
I would get chills, and that was how I could regulate my body temperature.
That was something else.
Yeah. So, if you do have to have your gallbladder out, I'm sorry about it, but healing goes really quickly, and
it was outpatient and really quick.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember I had to sit in my car and wait for you, because, again, it was still COVID stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt totally healed. Like, I mean, the first like 72 hours are pretty miserable, and then you feel better. And after about 2 weeks, I felt mostly normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a year out from it, I barely remembered what it was like. And I can eat normally, and I haven't had another one of those spells since. So we know for a fact that we got what it was.
Yeah.
Well, let me see if there's anything else.
Sure. This has been fun.
Yeah.
There was a part of me that was like, man, I don't remember much, and was feeling a little sad or bummed about that. But then I think what I've realized talking through this is that I feel like it just kind of happened. Like we just knew what was happening, and we knew what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And with some guidance and stuff, it went really well from Heidi.
Yeah.
But like, I guess I have a different perspective on it now going through it, that like, it just, we worked through it and did what we needed to do. And Charlotte's awesome.
Yeah, she's so great.
She's such a hoot.
She's been the easiest baby.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. I'm excited about this next one.
Me too.
I feel like I have a bit more understanding of what to expect now, but also anticipate that it'll go fine. Like, we're good at communicating. I feel like we're in tune.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you were really good about telling me what felt good or what you needed, mm-hmm. like just through like gestures or whatever. And again, like Heidi knew what to do or could suggest stuff. But yeah, it's nice to have a very kind of, on my end of things, easygoing, non-traumatic experience to weigh against like what my first experience was. And I think what it comes down to for me in that is just, it really upsets me that I just didn't feel like we had it really explained to us what to expect. We were like mid-20s, early mid-20s.
Yeah.
I guess 25, 26. But like, not knowing any of that stuff and not having good communication on it was really frustrating and really scary. And I feel like I was thankful that I knew what to expect going in. Like, at first I was like, okay, a doula, that's for Megan. But it just made me feel more confident of like, okay, well, at least I have someone who's there to, like, that we hired to, like, talk to me and let us know, like, this makes sense, this is normal.
Yeah.
That was well worth it to me. Because we just had none of that with, you know, Ada. And it was just so scary and upsetting.
It's weird looking back on it. If you think about, like, it's easy for me to understand how the nurses and the doctors and the midwives don't discuss that stuff with the patients. Because why should I have to explain to somebody else how to do my job? This is routine. We're just going through it. Like, I don't ever talk to my clients about, like, well, first I'm going to hit copy-paste, and then I'm going to, you know, reformat your fonts, and then, you know, and you probably don't tell your patients, like, I'm asking you this question because I'm looking to see if you
meet this criteria. Oh, actually, do you do that? Like, okay. In my mind, I'm like, why wouldn't you tell them? Like, why wouldn't you say, like, this is normal or this is okay?
Ah.
But also, it was, like, rando people. Because we didn't have, like, a team.
Mm-mm.
Because we got there at 3 in the morning.
Right.
Did a bunch of check-in stuff. And then they whisked her away. So we didn't have, like, a nurse in the room with us in labor. It was like, oh, she's breech. Her water already broke. You need to immediately go into surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like, boom, boom, boom. So for them, it's routine. But even if someone had just said, hey, put this gown and stuff on, and we're going to come get you. But, like, even when they handed me Ada after she was born, the anesthesiologist was like, hey, show her to the mom, and, like, directed me on how to hold her towards her. I didn't even know that much.
Yeah.
They just handed her to me and were like, show her to mom. And I'm like, I've never held a baby before. Like, what? Like,
this
ta-da!
This thing is incredibly delicate.
Like, is she okay? Like, this is early. It's also 4:10 a.m. And then, like, all of a sudden, they took us back to a recovery room and nothing again. Like, we didn't have a nursing staff or a midwife. Like, it was boom, boom, boom. And it just would have been nice to hear, like, hey, this is routine. Or if you don't see us in a bit, it's because things are okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, as uncomplicated as Charlotte's delivery was, the only reason we know what we know about why they were asking me to roll over is because Heidi was doing follow-up work with the hospital staff there and actually talked to the midwife. And the midwife explained to her, this is why I needed her to roll over so that I could support her perineum in this way so she wouldn't tear. And we were like, that's information we could have used.
Yeah, it felt kind of like, no, she just needs to roll over. And then you're right, it was at that point of like, well, it's just, I guess this is just happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, like, when it becomes almost like informed consent goes out the window, like, the minute that things start moving. And I get it, because it is fast, it can potentially be fast moving. There's a lot to monitor. And also, like, when you do that 3-4 times a day, every day, it does become routine for you to the point where it's like, I just know what I'm doing. And like you said, like, I'm not going to necessarily explain stuff.
Yeah.
But I think if anyone asked me at this point, I'd say hire a doula, or somebody at least that knows what's going on and can help you, because that way you don't have to split mind between what's happening with my wife and what's happening with the hospital staff. And so I could just like focus on you and and be like, hey, Heidi, what's up with this? Or just look at Heidi like with wide eyes and she could be like, just do this, or this is normal. And it just took so much of that stress off.
Yeah. So I knew just from my studies in doula work, and I actually went looking for this statistic the other day because I couldn't remember where I read it and I still couldn't find it. But some absurd percentage of couples in studies that they've done credit the survival of their marriage after delivery to hiring a doula. Like, there's a massive disconnect there between, like, the divorce rates after birth, within, like, a couple years after birth, based on whether or not you had a doula in attendance. And the guesswork on that is that it has to do with how it supports the husband as a partner and how it gives you tools to work with mom and baby.
I also would be curious, though, that if it's not skewed, because if you're willing to hire a doula, that means you're likely willing to seek help outside the marriage for things that might be difficult or a struggle. So I would assume then you'd be open to, like, marriage counseling or things like that. Probably. Have better communication about what you need.
Yeah.
But that's just the therapist in me trying to figure that out. I'm thankful we did. Like, if you had asked me beforehand, I would have been like, yeah, the classes, I didn't really get much from them, but I'm also really distractible. And, you know, I think I had some idea going in, so I guess it was worthwhile. But like, so like pre-test, post-test, like if you had, like afterwards, I would have been like, I would have gladly paid twice as much. Just having gone through, knowing the outcome and the experience that we had with Heidi, like it makes sense. And I get too that there's some privilege in that, because we're able to hire somebody and not everyone has that ability. And so there is some sense of like being aware of that for me too. Like, some people don't have that option. I wish they did. I wish that we would provide stuff like that, because, you know, with maternal mortality rates and stuff, it's ridiculous to me that we don't offer more evidence-based availability of stuff like that, instead of us having to, you know, only the people who can pay for it.
So on that note, I do want to bring up, if you are interested in having a doula attend your birth, but you're not sure if you can afford it, definitely reach out to a doula in your area. A lot of times there are some people who will have a few services provided on a sliding scale. And or there are always student doulas looking to get their hours in. And yeah, they may not be as efficient of a mediator for you, but somebody is better than nothing. And then you're kind of doing each other a favor.
Cool.
Which is great.
Neat.
Yeah.
I'm glad that exists.
Well, in wrapping up, I think the question I normally ask people is like, what would be like your elevator speech? What would be your big takeaway from the birth? And I don't know how to answer my own question.
Can you ask me that in a different way?
Yeah. If you had to boil down your entire experience to, like, give me one piece of advice based on what you learned, like, what was the most important thing that you think you learned and would hope to share with other couples that would make their birth journey easier? What would that be?
I don't know if I have an answer to that.
Yeah.
I know, like, my takeaways, like, you were a rock star and so impressive to me. And I think the key is, like, if you can find a doula, I would highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, oh, honestly, like, what I would recommend is, it seems silly and it's easy to blow off the classes and stuff, but I think having really good communication between you and your partner going into it really helped me, because, like, even when I wasn't certain what I was doing was helpful to you or not, like, I knew how you wanted to be asked or approached about it. And even when that seemed to shift because you were in it and you were like, nope, never mind, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
None of that I took personally, because we had talked through what, like, might happen or how it might go. And so I think that really good communication ahead of time was really helpful to me. You know, like, at one point you were like, stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I wasn't prepared for, like, being aware that when we get into it, you might have an idea of I want this and then hate it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I would have been like, oh, great, I'm not being helpful, or whoa, like, I'm just trying to help. I would have felt defensive or like I was failing. And so I think the good communication ahead of time, especially the stuff Heidi prompted us to talk through, like, you, me, and her,
mm-hmm.
was really helpful. That's one thing I took away.
That's good. That is really good.
I love you too. Yeah, this is fun.
I think mine would be, know what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be hard to do. That may involve taking a lot of classes, you know, get on Reddit, listen to this podcast, watch YouTube, like, hear other women's experiences, find out what, you know, what's available to you. And you might get into that room and go like, ooh, but I remember this person said this, and I want to, you know, I think that might be helpful to me right now. The bigger your tool chest is, the higher your chances of success of getting what you want.
And also recognizing, I think, that there's no failure.
Yeah.
Like, being open to the idea that however the experience goes is how it needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that it wasn't because you failed or that it didn't meet what you wanted. Like, intentions versus outcome, I think, is such a huge thing with everything. But
yeah,
it also applies to this. Like, know that you knew what you wanted going into it, but being open to, like, I wanted that, but it couldn't happen. There's probably mm-hmm. some grief that would go with that too.
Yeah.
I think that would have really helped me with Ada's birth,
mm-hmm.
knowing that and being able to know that, like, we wanted it to go a certain way, and now we have to grieve that it didn't go the way we thought, plus all the extra stuff.
Yeah.
Would have been helpful instead of, I don't think we felt like it was a failure because we didn't really have a good idea going into it even.
Yeah.
But I think that's a value too, is just giving yourself grace to know that you're doing whatever you can at the moment that's the best for
mm-hmm.
you and the baby and the situation.
Yeah. That was definitely like a hard situation you guys are in, but like, Ava's healthy and
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Well, anything else?
What's the country that you like get a lot of responses from?
Oh, Iceland.
Thank you, Iceland, for listening to my wife's podcast. Special shout out to the country of Iceland, because it encourages her and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm thankful you're doing this, and I'm thankful that you haven't lost interest or momentum with it.
Yeah.
I know you hit kind of a wall with people, like your main pool of people to reach out to got exhausted. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't sure what you were doing, regardless of what you chose, but I'm glad you're sticking to it. And And I appreciate you letting me come on, you know, and being able to process through it with you. This has been really nice. And I'm just glad that you're helping other people. I think that's, you found a really cool niche to be able to do that. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you, baby. I'm really glad you wanted to come on.
Yeah, this was really fun. Thanks for letting me.
Love you.
Love you too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Normal Birth Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or are interested in being on the show, please send me an email to normalbirthpod@gmail.com.